John, what's new at your end in terms of the developments with hemp?
We've been developing new biomaterials and using hemp and other biofibers. Previously, we focused on the meltable plastics and reinforcing them with hemp, flax, and cereal straws, primarily to change their functionality and impart better strength and durability. We are now moving into an area we call thermoset composites. These materials are using rigid plastics. These are the cross-linked thermosetting resins that are used primarily in industrial applications, for example, automotives, building products, industrial applications, tanks, etc. And what the fiber material does is provide a backbone to strengthen and toughen these materials. So obviously, as a methodology to create a renewable source and to be a little more environmentally friendly, we're trying to see the benefits of using biofibers or fibers that are generated from agricultural feedstocks or waste streams, for example. And we've had some very good success in terms of developing some materials that perform very well at very low cost, and have been able to demonstrate that with a number of companies.
What is this material replacing? Is it like fiberglass?
That's exactly it. I think the target market for these biofiber materials, the quickest hit is probably fiberglass materials. As you may or may not know, fiberglass is a very good material and very prevalent in the world. But fiberglass takes a lot of energy to produce. Glass fiber is a very energy-intensive industry. So in essence, what we're trying to do is supplement that. I don't know if we'll ever replace fiberglass. It has its benefits in some applications, but we are trying to supplement that and hopefully try to make things a little greener.
What do you do to the hemp then to get the material that you need in order to turn it into your fiberglass substitute?
The hemp, when it comes from the field, is, and just to back up here, the portion of the plant that we are interested in is the bast fiber, which is you can kind of make an analogy that it's sort of the bark of the fiber. So you have these long stalks. Hemp plants grow in these long, tall forms. And we basically, from the field, have various processes that allow us to separate these very high-strength, high-tenacity fibers from the rest of the plant. The methods are called, or the process is called decortication. Decortication and methods to separate the fiber from the hemp plant has been around for a long time. Hemp has been used, you know, historically prior to World War II as the main fiber for rope material, as well as for clothing. And the conventional methods for decortication obviously have been around for a long time. Now, the challenge from a industrial materials point of view is that these methods are often quite costly. And ARC has developed new processes that allow us to decorticate or separate fibers from the plant in a very cost-effective manner. And it's that platform that we are trying to, basically look at and try to find applications for these materials coming from this.
The hemp fibers are very long. Do you have to chop them up?
In the conventional decortication methodology, the whole idea is to keep the fibers as long as possible. If you're doing textiles, your whole purpose is to try to keep fibers as long as possible. In a composite application where we're looking at fibers in the range anywhere from 10 to, say, 30 millimeters, it's probably more advantageous that you chop the plant first and then separate the fiber. And really, that's the basis of this new decortication platform.
What have you been trying out then to see if all of this is working?
We're working with a number of industrial partners and companies to basically introduce and replace the fiberglass. These are companies that are already using fiberglass in their applications. One demo that we did was with a company in Summerland, BC. They have quite a big boat industry in BC, as you can imagine, in the Okanagan. And the company name was Katana, and we had visited them and basically tried our hemp mat materials in replacement for fiberglass. Very successful. They were very excited about it. Number one, the boat part came out a lot lighter than the fiberglass part. And number two, and if you've ever worked with fiberglass insulation, you know that it is, quite itchy, and there are obviously safety concerns with it. So they were very pleased to find that they could handle this material very easily without that problem. The other applications that we've been dealing with is the potential for using these also in automotive parts. We've been working with a company out of Calgary, Alberta, called Motive Industries, who are developing prototype cars for electric vehicles, for example. And, of course, the big advantage with the hemp material is that it is very lightweight compared to fiberglass, so it offers an incredible value in terms of energy savings as well as reducing the weight of the vehicle, which is of paramount importance for increasing that kind of driving distance for electric vehicles. So it's a very good fit, all in all. So,
when you're making up the hemp mats, you have to pour resin in them. Are you also looking at green alternatives for the resin?
Absolutely, constantly. That's a big question we always get. Kind of the first hit here, of course, is can we make things greener for companies that are using existing synthetic resins? You know, you don't want to come in and try to change everything at once. This is kind of the first step. But down the road, definitely, we are looking at what we call biopolymers, or replacement for synthetic polymers. There are a number of options there in terms of both the thermosets and the thermoplastics. And eventually there might be applications where you can introduce a biopolymer that basically is biodegradable, that represents a design alternative where you can create a component that maybe has a fixed life, that really you're targeting for a specific life, and at the end of that life, then it can become either compostable or will degrade in landfill, etc.
Well, along with fiberglass, you're also looking at cement. How do you put hemp into cement?
The mixture process is fairly straightforward. It's the fiber preparation is the key, as I said, with separating the appropriate fibers out of it. The cement products are ultimately very similar to the thermoset plastics in that they are cements, as you know, are very brittle materials by nature. Fibers are used in a lot of applications right now in cement mixtures to obviously prevent cracking. Everyone has cement flooring or some sort of concrete driveways that potentially may have cracks in it. And what the fibers do is essentially bridge those cracks and prevent it from propagating. So we are working again through some of the internal research we're doing here to see what fibers work best in terms of helping prevent cement from cracking. What proportions do you add? What are the formulations? And work with all, obviously different types of cements too. There's a lot of different cements and ceramics out there, and we're trying to create this master recipe book that we can then go to companies and say, look, you have an application that you use a cement-based product. Perhaps our addition can, number one, again, reduce the weight of your product, and can improve the functionality and reduce cracking.
Well, what kind of cements would you be looking at, or cement products? I'm just thinking, I made some steps over the summer. Could you use this in cement steps?
Sure. We've done some initial trials with ordinary Portland cement, which is the de facto standard for cement out there. I think there's also an opportunity to look at more specialized applications. For example, cement board for potentially internal applications. Cement board is a replacement for drywall. Number one, it's fire resistant. If we can add light biofibers to it, we can create a very lightweight product. One thing we found through our research is that the addition of fibers makes the cement very ductile, so it really reduces its brittleness. And where that comes to play is that now you can actually screw something into the board without worrying about it cracking on you. So in terms of functionality, it provides you this basis where you can actually apply this board to a wall without worrying about it, cracking on you. So there's a lot of interesting properties that can be generated from this. And ultimately, our goal is to work with companies to see where those fits occur.
You are doing demonstrations with companies in Western Canada, but are you getting attention from elsewhere?
Yes, it seems as our program grows, I would like to consider us, we're really the new kids on the block. We haven't been in this that long. Our biofiber team in the feedstock side and the fiber processing side have been around for quite a while, but the end use application side has been really a new area for ARC. But in such a short time, in the last 2 to 3 years, we have received a lot of attention. And a lot of it is to do with the fact that we really do have a unique facility here at the Research Council in that we definitely have the largest biofiber development team when you consider from developing of feedstocks, processing, and final end product development, probably anywhere in Canada, possibly in the world. And what makes this unique is that, as you can imagine, the nature of how those fibers are prepared and what they look like and how they interact with materials starts right from the seed. Like, we need to know what's happening and how it's processed. How can we change that? If I need something different, I walk down the hall, I talk to my colleagues in the processing area, and they can very quickly alter how they do things to improve my end line. So it's a very unique kind of supply chain simulated environment here at the Research Council.
John, what support is there for this research?
There is obviously a lot of government focus right now. Alberta's, of course, very big into energy, but we're also very, very big into agriculture and forestry. So to create products that are value added for both the agriculture industry as well as for the forestry industry is a big concern. To that end, the Alberta government, through both Alberta Agriculture and Sustainable Resource Development, as well as with the Alberta Research Council, have all partnered together to create the Alberta Biomaterials Development Center. What's unique about the Alberta Materials Development Center is it consists primarily of pilot scale equipment and obviously technical staff to help companies come in and actually produce quantities of materials that they would be able to trial in their actual processes. So we're not talking lab scale here, we're talking at a much larger scale, which is really a critical link in this whole supply chain. One difficult aspect that we've been dealing with for a number of years here is that companies are keen on using green materials, but the infrastructure is not there yet. You know, you can't go down the street, you can't go to a supplier and say, I want hemp biofiber mat. It doesn't exist. So what this initiative does is basically provide that interim stopgap as private industry comes to the table and starts developing this infrastructure.
Thank you very much, John.
You're welcome.